Well, happy first day of summer as we do this podcast live on Magic Time. It is June 21st, the summer solstice. So wherever you're listening in today, either live or to the replay afterwards, happy first day of summer. Scott Squires with you here. Very glad to be joined by the head coach of the Moncton Magic. And coach, you know, we never know where we're going to catch up to you. We've spoken to you at a lot of different places. And this is the second time, I think, that we've done a podcast with you from an airport.
Yeah, I think it is, Scott. I think the first time was actually in Las Vegas, if I remember correctly. But yeah, actually kind of cool, kind of a cool story to kick off the podcast here. I just went through security, and I was standing directly behind Mario Chiok, who's a Canadian who was drafted by the Philadelphia 76ers last night with the 54th pick in the second round. And so it's kind of cool. Got to meet him and congratulate him on being drafted last night. You never know who you're going to run into in an airport.
That is very cool. And that is so true. Now, other than what you just said, you know, the congratulations and you know, wishing him well for being drafted, I'm sure it was probably a quick interaction, but anything else come out of that conversation? What other things did you maybe toss out there in the couple seconds you guys talked?
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, he was drafted 54th overall last night by the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm actually good friends with one of the assistant coaches with the Sixers. His name's John Bryant, that I know from back in my Frosty days. But I told Mario just to say hello to John from Joe Salerno, if he remembers when he gets there. And but no, it was cool. It was a cool exchange, and certainly a happy camper, and his father was here as well. So pretty cool.
I was going to say, we'll move on from that in a second, but one more thing about that interaction with him, you know, seeing these young men get drafted last night in the two rounds of the NBA draft, seeing their reactions, especially guys that are kind of waiting around and don't get taken till later on. You know, you said he was there with his dad, but you've encountered a lot of players at a lot of different levels in your career, coach. Could you tell just from his face, like, was he beaming? Like, could you tell that something great had happened to that young man just from looking at his face?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, right? Because, you know, when I introduced myself to him, as I do thousands of players every summer, you know, I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he's a young guy. He looks like a guy that's somebody who we might recruit, you know, at a camp or combine, and you know, very similar to a lot of the guys that play in our league. But yeah, I think he was pretty excited. But anyway, like I said, just kind of a cool little experience. I literally just walked away from about 4 minutes before you called.
That is very cool indeed. Now, we should kind of reference why you're at the airport in Halifax and you've gone through customs. Obviously, going international, if you're through customs, where are you headed, coach?
Yeah, actually headed to North Carolina for the weekend, which is obviously quite a hotbed for basketball. Speaking of the draft, if you watched the draft last night, I think there was 10 to 12 players from the ACC who was drafted last night in two rounds. And then that's where I'll be. You know, I'll be in ACC country in Raleigh, North Carolina for the first 3 days, which is, you know, right in between the University of North Carolina, you know, Duke, Wake Forest, and North Carolina State. So certainly a spot that breeds a lot of basketball players. And then I'll be headed to Charlotte on Monday for another workout then. So pretty busy weekend.
Now, I know this time last year when we started doing our off-season podcasts, I think the first place you headed last year was to a combine or an event in Las Vegas. You referenced that we spoke at the airport when you were in Las Vegas last time. How did this event get on your radar, or is this something that you've known that's going to be taking place for a while?
I was contacted by a trainer from Raleigh who I respect. I've known for quite a few years now, and normally always has some talent. You know, he works with very talented players, and you know, he reached out to me to let me know that there was going to be a combine, you know, in Raleigh this weekend, and he invited me to come down and, you know, probably say a few words to the guys at the camp and just be there to scout, try to find some talents. And then, you know, while I was in Raleigh, I always try to pack as much as I can into a trip, right? So I reached out to another trainer, a guy who actually kind of works for a sports agency, but also trains players in the Charlotte area. I told him I'd be in North Carolina for the weekend and, you know, asked him if we could arrange, you know, getting 15 or 20 prospects in the gym in Charlotte on Monday, and which he was able to do. So, you know, it should be a good weekend.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Now, we referenced the draft last night and a record number of Canadians, six, taken in the NBA draft last night. So things obviously headed the right direction for Canadian basketball. But being an American, as you are from Vermont originally, when you reach out and look to go to these events stateside, does it help you a little bit to have the lay of the land and to have that connection that you are an American and to be able to reach out and make that connection and being familiar with, south of the 49th parallel? Does that kind of help you a little bit?
Maybe. I mean, maybe I think it's probably just because I have a lot of roots, in the United States, and a large portion of my kind of network from in the basketball world is from the United States. So, it's really easy to talk to prospective players, and I probably know someone they know, right? And it's just kind of a small world down there. So, yeah, I think it probably helps. Certainly doesn't hurt, being from the States when you're attending so many combines, and you just kind of have a really good idea of where you could potentially find talent and where the hotbeds kind of are. And, North Carolina is certainly a basketball hotbed in the United States.
You can tell I've been out of geography a long time. I said the 49th parallel. It's actually the 48th parallel that goes around and separates. But not a school too long, coach.
Going to let that slide, Scott, but you had to you brought it up.
I did, and I made sure that I corrected it. And maybe we just go back for one sec because, we referenced the number of Canadians taken in the draft last night at six, the most ever taken in one NBA draft. We know what is happening with Canadian basketball, certainly most recently with the Toronto Raptors and what we saw in that absolutely epic parade, the championship parade. But you've referenced as well how neat it was to be in Canada and experience what's been going on, not only the last couple of years, but certainly with this playoff run. What's your sense, coach, of where basketball is in Canada in terms of the growth at the grassroots level and what you're seeing in terms of Canadian talent?
I don't know if words can really describe, Scott, what exactly is kind of going on here with basketball in Canada. It's incredible. I mean, it's reached a climax. It's at its peak, with the Raptors winning a championship. Obviously, from a personal note, the Magic winning a championship. And then, of course, yeah, you watch the draft and having six Canadians drafted, last night it's just, I don't think basketball in Canada could be in any better of a place than where it's currently at, right at this moment. So it's just exciting to kind of be a very, very small piece of that basketball landscape here in Canada. And really looking forward to just continue to see it grow, because it will continue to grow and grow. But this is kind of the climax, I think, when you talk about the Raptors, winning that championship. And it's just a really exciting time.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Now we'll pull it back to the Moncton Magic again. We know that, the off season is a busy time for you as you're looking at potential new players coming in, young talent or veteran talent, whatever the case may be. However, today at 11 a.m. Atlantic time, the National Basketball League of Canada released its protected lists from all of the different teams. They had to be submitted a few days ago. They were released today. And Moncton Magic, the protected list includes Trey Kell, the Finals MVP, two-time NBL Canada champ Billy White. Those are the two, I guess, names that jump right out at you. But also Marcus Lewis, Wayne McCullough, Gentre Thomas, Denzel Taylor, and Nick Evans. And I know fans want to know, coach, exactly what is the protected list and what goes into putting those seven players on there?
Yeah, so the protected list is basically a kind of policy that the league put in a few years ago, really giving teams the opportunity, I guess the first opportunity to bring back players, bring back familiar faces for their fan base, to continue to grow their fan base. I'm sure you've seen on social media, how passionate, Magic fans are, and they want to see their guys back. So basically, teams are allowed to place seven players on what's called the protected list. And then that gives that team, it gives the Magic, for example, the exclusive negotiating rights with that player up to a specific date. That date is normally about a month before training camp. So, no other team realistically can, or legally, can be talking with any of our guys and kind of making them offers. That'd be considered tampering, you know, if another team was to reach out to protect the player and make him an offer. But it basically gives the team rights to that player for another several months to try to re-sign them, to bring them back for another season, or potentially to trade them, you know, to another team in the league, potentially for another player, another asset. So basically, in a nutshell, we're retaining those seven players' rights for, you know, roughly another 3 to 4 months, you know, looking to potentially re-sign them or possibly move them elsewhere.
And I know that when the list was released, a couple of questions that were asked revolved around the veteran Corey Almond and why he wasn't on the list. And you've got a pretty good reason and a pretty good answer as to why Corey wasn't on that protected list, Coach.
Yeah, so I think a lot of our fans don't know. We didn't make it, you know, really public at the start of training camp. But Corey actually signed a 2-year contract with the Magic at the start of this past season. So he'll actually be entering his, you know, second year of that contract with the Magic for 2019-20. So, you know, again, when you a guy's already under contract, there obviously isn't any reason to protect that player. So Corey's rights do remain with the Magic, you know, for the 19-20 season. Now Corey does have an option to possibly leave that contract towards the end of August. But, you know, as of right now, he's under contract for another season with us.
So that would certainly make Corey protected in another way by having that 2-year contract. As well, Coach, anytime I do a podcast with you, I always like to send out some messages on social media about when we're going to be chatting, whether it's live or whatever the case may be. And this time around, I asked for a couple of questions from some of the fans. And a couple of questions here I'll toss at you real quick. Kevin Mead had one for you. He says, any advice that you would have for up-and-coming coaches?
Yeah, no, it's funny. That's a good question. I had actually on my personal social media about a week ago, I'd kind of put up an open forum for fans to ask some questions. And I had another young coach actually from the Niagara region in Toronto reach out to me and ask me that same question. And, you know, really the advice that I gave him was, you know, as a young coach, I mean, once you make the commitment that this is kind of what you want to do as a career and you want to make a living out of it and really have your entire life revolve around it, you just have to be willing to kind of ride the ups and downs, you know, because there's going to be both. You know, you have to just instill a level of self-confidence, you know, when things aren't going well. You have to trust the fact that you know, you are working as hard as you can. You're doing everything you possibly can, you know, for the team that you're currently coaching, and trust the fact that you're making the right decisions. And, you know, I think that helps you, you know, kind of get through some of those tough times if you can rely on that self-confidence and really just believe in yourself. And, you know, obviously having the support of family members and whatnot is big. It's certainly big for me. But I mean, the best advice I can give to a young coach or a coach trying to do this is you have to understand that it's not all roses. You know, you have to go through an awful lot, and it's a process. It's a process to kind of get to you know, where you want to go, and you just have to be willing to roll with the punches, you know, and just be confident in what you do.
And, Coach, I know that we've talked in other podcasts about some of the people who are big-time support for you going up through the ranks, but outside of the usual suspects, you know, obviously your dad, your mom, your real close family, when you were young and up and coming and just learning the ropes, who was a coach that pops into your head right now that was somebody that was kind of really there for you and gave you some really good advice that's lasted even till today?
Boy, you know, Scott, that's a really tough question for me because I'm going to be honest. I really kind of went at this alone. I really, truly did. I mean, when I got my first professional job, you know, as an assistant coach, you know, the head coach I was working under, I was only with him for a few months before he was actually let go by the team, and I was kind of thrown right into the fire. You know, I've met an awful lot of coaches along the way that I've tried to learn from, and, you know, but as far as kind of really having a mentor-type voice from the coaching world, it's hard for me to point a finger at one. I've learned from a ton of coaches, even coaches that have worked, you know, as assistants for myself. I learned a lot from Mike Leslie, you know, during our time together, as I'm sure he did myself. You know, man, it's tough for me to say that, Scott. because I really was kind of thrown into the fire and just tried to gather as much information from as many people as I possibly could. I'm not sure if I really had a kind of mentor as a coach.
You kind of had a melting pot of different coaches help you along the way. Another fan, Dustin Casey. And Dustin, I hope I'm saying your last name correctly. He had a couple of questions. One may have already been answered by the protected list today. He asked, where's Trey going? Of course, Trey Kell. And at least right now, we know he's not going anywhere because he was on that protected list. Another question from Dustin relates to a pretty big piece of the playoff run for the Moncton Magic. Dustin wants to know, are you going to try and re-sign Jason Caliste since Jason's not on that protected list?
Oh, no question at all. We're certainly going to, Jay Caliste is really kind of one of our main priorities, for next season. Jay and I have had multiple conversations since our season ended. He's extremely aware that we want him back next year. And he made us very aware that this is the place that he wants to be. I think Jay and I came a long way. Thank you. In our relationship this year, having him for a second year, I certainly got to know him an awfully lot better. I think he got to know myself, and I think our level of communication was just at a very high level this year. So I was just very confident that Jay was going to be a guy that we were going to be able to re-sign. He had told me multiple times, Coach, I really don't see myself playing anywhere else. The Magic is really the only team in Canada that I'd sign with. Us just chatting about that, it just gave me a lot of confidence that, Jay was not a guy that we had to put on our protected list, and we were able to use that spot for a guy that may be a little more on the fence or whatnot. I think it comes down to just the relationship that we have with Jay and the kind of the trust that we have in each other. And I trust that Jay wants to come back to the Magic, and I think he trusts the fact that we're going to make him a nice offer to re-sign him for a third consecutive year.
Now, Coach, it sounds pretty hectic there at the airport as you get ready to board your flight shortly. I just want to make sure that you're still good for a few minutes.
Yeah, I'm still good. I've assumed for at least another 10, 12 minutes.
Sounds good. Okay, we'll just touch on the protected list for another second before we move on to a couple of questions from Dave Tingley, who I now will call the Forrest Gump of the questions, as he's like a box of chocolates, because with Dave, you never know what you're going to get for a question. But let's go back to the protected list for a second. I know you made a comment in the release today from the Moncton Magic that, you wish you could protect all 12 players. Obviously, you can't. How difficult was it to make the choices to have some guys not on that list? And of the guys that aren't on that list, besides the ones we've already mentioned, do you have a couple of other targets that you'd really like to be able to talk to and say, hey, if we can bring this crew back together to defend, let's do it?
Yeah, I mean, it was difficult because, you come off, I've stated, I just don't know if we could have had much of a better season than what we had, from the home record to the postseason, regular season championship, number one seed, all of those things that kind of came with our season. You'd love to have all 12 guys back, and I genuinely would. I really think if we had all 12 guys back for next season, we could really do something pretty special. So it was difficult. It was difficult making the final decisions, obviously those last couple spots, and it really comes down to the conversations that I had with each of those players, and then I just had to kind of go with my gut as to whether I felt we needed to protect this player's rights. Some of that could be based on other teams' interests that I feel teams may have in a player. Some may be based on contracts and financial reasons. So a lot goes into it. Obviously a guy like Freddie McSwain, he's another guy that I just had a lot of confidence in, that if Freddie does come back and play in Canada, I feel like this is really the only place that he's going to want to play. So it was tough, but again, I'm happy with the end result.
So we'll move now to a Dave Tingley question sandwich. I'll take the somewhat serious question, at least from my perspective, and I'll put that in the middle of the couple of other questions that make up that Tingley sandwich of questions. The first one is, Coach, Dave says, now that your adopted country, being Canada, of course, has clearly surpassed your home country, being the United States, in basketball quality and popularity, what are you concerned or worried about that the Canadians are coming after next? Football, apple pie, Coach? What do you think?
That was the serious question?
No, that's the bread for the serious question. That'll be in the middle of the sandwich.
Oh, okay. Hey, you know, I'm not going to say I agree with all of Tingley's comments there, but I'm certainly happy that, you know, where the state of basketball is in Canada right now. It's just, like I said, it's incredible. And, you know, they're certainly producing, you know, NBA caliber players, and it's great stuff. So I couldn't be happier because, yes, I've lived in Canada now for going on 8 years, so I feel pretty Canadian. As far as what they may go after next from the United States, I mean, I have no idea. I know the CFL could certainly improve a little bit, so maybe they start targeting American football, the NFL, a little bit.
And I just would like to state for the record that the United States can keep the apple pie because Canada's got Putin coach. All right, we'll move on to a more serious question from Dave. And Dave is, and I'll kind of paraphrase a little bit, but he's wanting to know, or he's wondering from you, in the aftermath of the Moncton Magic Championship and, of course, what the Toronto Raptors did and how it ignited the country, are you noticing any differences in conversations or chats that you have when it revolves around basketball in the community when it comes to the Moncton Magic? And he's asking, you know, have letters, emails, highlight tapes, agent inquiries, and that type of thing gone up? And he also wants to know, with all of that, has Mitch Rowley been able to come out of the tape room yet to enjoy any of the weather?
Good afternoon.
1 second. Okay, Scott, I'm good. Well, first, yes, I think I've stated before, it's just been a lot more conversation. Well, I guess a lot more players that are interested in playing in Canada, their highlight tapes have come in a lot earlier, you know, than other years. And I think some of that, again, was attributed to maybe seeing on social media the success the Magic had in winning a championship in the NBL Canada this year. You know, as far as locally, yeah, it's interesting because, of course, we've had a lot of parents coming into the office, the Magic offices lately, to register or their kids for our summer camps. And, you know, just the conversations they have, you know, my children are just so excited about basketball and they love going to your games and they've been watching the Raptors. And it's certainly a different kind of buzz than what I've felt in the month of June, you know, any other year here in Canada. So, you know, it was kind of the perfect storm for Moncton because we, you know, winning an NBL Canada championship and then, you know, obviously the Raptors winning an NBA championship following. I mean, you just can't have more of a buzz basketball in the city of Moncton and the surrounding area. So certainly have seen a significant growth in that. And, you know, like I said, it's just, it's on everybody's mind. It's still on everybody's mind. And it's pretty incredible. It's pretty incredible to be part of.
And to finish off the trifecta of Tingley teasers or Tingley questions, Dave wants to know, when are he and I going to be getting the email requesting our championship ring sizes, Coach?
You know, I think you got to be upper management to make those kind of decisions. So I probably have to pass the buck on that one. And, you know, if I happen to hear, then I'll certainly, you guys will be the first to know.
Well, maybe Dave and I'll have to contact Baron Rings directly and get our own Moncton Magic Championship ring with maybe like a little headset and a microphone on it. All right, Coach, I know that you got to go quickly. I know your flight's going to be boarding soon, but you know, what most would you like to get out of the next couple of days from your time down in North Carolina?
Well, I think I'd like to start, you know, just kind of start our depth chart. You know, I'd certainly depth chart for the off season here, looking at training camp for next fall. For me, it's certainly, you know, important to start looking at kind of specific positions that I feel we may be, you know, looking for next year, based on our protected list, based on some of the feedback I got from exit interviews, you know, and new talent. I mean, that's what I want to find. I mean, you know, the NBL Canada, although it's a very transient league, you know, there's a lot of faces that stay around for 2, 3, 4 years. You know, I'm very interested in finding young, new talent, which I think the league as a whole did a great job of this year. There was a ton of very talented young players, you know, Brent Arrington and you know, Frank Bartley from St. John, and Freddie McSwain and Trey Kell and Gentry Thomas and Malcolm Duvivier. I mean, there was just a ton of new talent in the league. And when you go out to some of these combines, you know, you never really know what you're going to get. Speaking of a box of chocolates there, you don't really know until you get there. And, you know, all you can really hope for is kind of finding a diamond in the rough and someone you feel could fit your organization. So, you know, for me, that's what I want to get the most out of this weekend is just, you know, get a couple names, couple guys that I may have some interest in and then take them back to the Magic here and start doing our homework on them and seeing if they may be a good fit. So, you know, starting the depth chart is kind of what this weekend's all about.
Well, I'll definitely look forward to catching up with you sometime next week to kind of get your thoughts on how the next few days had gone for you once you get back. And I'd like to end it now, as I usually like to do with you, with a little family conversation before you board your flight. I saw on social media today that it was the last day of kindergarten for your daughter, Alex, the last day of grade 3 for your son, Cam. And maybe just a quick comment, Coach, on the fact that Alex wants to be a horse trainer, and perhaps to no one's surprise, Cam wants to be a YouTuber.
yeah, that's a family tradition, you know, that we do every year, the first and last day of school photos, and kind of see what the kids want to be. For the last couple of years, Cam has wanted to be an X Game, you know, BMX guy. This was the first time that's changed in probably 3 years. He wants to be a YouTuber. Actually asked Darcy and I a couple of nights ago if he could start his own YouTube channel, which we were not in favor of. Although I think he could probably get some hits, I'm sure. But, you know, and Alex had a love for horses for forever. You know, that's not going to change for a while. So, you know, it's cool though. It's cool to see the growth, you know, the changes they've made. I mean, significant changes over the course of this school year in their photos. You can see it in their face and how they're growing. So really kind of a cool thing. I thought, Scott, you were going to comment on Alex's first career goal in soccer last night.
I don't know if you saw that clip.
I
was going to segue into summer sports, and she did. That was pretty amazing. You actually caught it on camera. What was that moment like, and how excited was she?
Oh, man, it was incredible. And I actually caught still shots of it. A friend of ours, another player's mother, actually caught it on video and then sent us the clip. And man, you know, I was psyched. I was pretty jacked up. Actually, Cam and Alex had soccer at the same time last night on different fields. And I watched the first half of Cam's game and then made the move over to Alex's, and Darcy switched. You know, she went over and watched Cam's second half of his game. So Darcy wasn't able to see it. So I was kind of sitting there by myself and a little burst of speed there. And, you know, it just got me excited. And she is going to be an athlete. I'm extremely confident in saying. I don't know what sport, what she's going to choose to do, but Alex's kind of level of focus and, you know, she's just an extremely athletic 6-year-old, and she certainly looked like it in that clip last night, but she was excited, you know, she little jump, you know, a little look over at dad, but I was kind of proud because she acted like she had done it before, you know, and that's a good sign. So it was awesome. It was a moment I won't forget ever. Which was really kind of cool. So both of them are doing great, and it's so fun to watch them grow up.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, Coach, you know, the Women's World Cup going on right now, Canada in the knockout stage. They're going to be playing Sweden, but some fantastic soccer action. And I saw the video clip of Alex, and she did talk about a burst of speed. She got in behind the defender, and like a true striker, when she saw the opportunity, she didn't waste any time. She just hammered that ball in the back of the goal, Coach. So, you know, I know you said she's going to be an athlete.
That's my wife. I mean, Darcy is a huge, huge, huge women's soccer fan. She loves soccer. It's really kind of her passion when it comes to sports. And, you know, her and Alex and Camden, they're very big Morgan Presley fans. Alex Morgan. Did I say that right?
Alex
Morgan. She plays for... Yeah, they love her. I mean, they talk about it all the time. Alex actually, you know, she wanted to get number 13 for soccer because of Alex Morgan. And, you know, the shirt was a little too big, so she settled for one. But, no, they love it. They love soccer. And yeah, Alex, to be honest with you, Alex looked like her mother when she scored that goal. Darcy played pretty competitive soccer for a long time. You know, as sweet as she may come off, She's kind of vicious when she gets on a soccer field, seriously. So I saw a little bit of that in Alex last night, which was, again, very, very cool to see.
She's got the mom footy DNA. Well, listen, coach, I know I hear the speakers there, and I know that they must be calling you to get in the line to board the aircraft soon. So again, thank you so much for doing this live from the airport, Halifax International Airport. I guess the other question is, what's the journey like for you today? Halifax to where? Like, what's the trip for you?
Yeah, pretty quick trip, Halifax to Newark. I only have about a 40-minute layover in Newark, and then it's just a quick flight from Newark to Raleigh. So, although I am just reading now that my next flight got delayed. No, excuse me, this flight is now delayed a few moments, about 25 minutes. So I might miss my connection now in Newark, which would put me in Raleigh much later tonight. So this happens to me all the time, Scott. It never goes smoothly. I was hoping today would be the day, but obviously some pretty heavy rain here in Halifax, and we'll have to see. We'll have to see what time I get into Raleigh tonight.
The adventures of Coach Salerno. You never know what each day is going to bring you, Coach.
Definitely not, especially when you're dealing with Air Canada. I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, listen, thanks again. We really appreciate it. Safe travels today and good luck this weekend. And we'll look forward to catching up with you next week and getting a recap of how the last couple of days have gone for you.
Okay, that sounds great, Scott. Thanks again for the call.
Always a pleasure, sir. That is Coach Joe Salerno. We caught up with him live at the Stanfield International Airport in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Coach Salerno getting ready to head down to Raleigh, North Carolina. Big combine going on there Saturday, and then he's got some private workouts on Monday with some potential players as the offseason begins in earnest for the NBLC champions, the Moncton Magic. Thank you so much to Coach Salerno for joining us as always on Magic Time. I'm Scott Squires, and thank you for tuning in and listening. You're the reason that we do this podcast. And if you'd like to become a sponsor or know someone who would like to sponsor Magic Time, please let them know that they can get a hold of me either through firmfoundationmedia@gmail.com or, of course, on social media, Scott_FFM on Twitter. Until next time, friends, remember, if you can't take part in sport, be a good one anyway. Bye for now.